All right, we're back now with Karen Carroll. She is the public health director in the city of Gloucester. And Karen, welcome back to MSO. It's been a couple of years, I believe, since I've talked with you last time.
Yeah, I think so.
Been a while.
Thanks for having me today.
Oh, thank you for being with us, Karen. I know how busy you are and how difficult this is. And I think the first thing that comes to mind with me, we've been inundated with information from particularly the governor's office and the mayor's office, and I know that you have coordinated or she has coordinated with you. But the thing that I am most interested in at the moment in chatting with you is how you are doing your work the way you're doing it, because I'm gathering that you're not working out of City Hall.
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of the city offices employees are not working from City Hall to heed the governor's warnings like everyone else. If we don't need to be in the office, we're not. We're trying to minimize the contact to each other and to the public, but we are all accessible by phone, by Zoom meetings. I have set up a home office in my bedroom, and I work from here all day long, every day, and it works fine. People call me on my phone. They can leave messages, which are my city office phone, and those are all forwarded to emails for all city employees. So we can see when someone's left a message, and I get back to people. I have meetings with my staff and with the COVID response team. We meet regularly all day long, calls with DPH as well. And they all happen through Zoom or a call-in number. And we, you know, it's just kind of how we have to work at this point. So it's working fine. I mean, I think all essential city services are still able to be accessed and are up and running, and someone will get back to you. Some of our city workers and even our health department team have been redeployed, including myself, from our traditional roles, it was somewhat or partially or entirely, in my case, to the COVID response.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit different for us. But we still have our food inspector, our septic sanitarian, our housing inspector doing emergency work or work as it's related to COVID response.
Well,
so, that's kind of how it works. And the mayor's office meets with us regularly as well, the managers via the internet. And we continue to stay connected and problem solve every day. Seems to be a new range of issues for all of the departments to do with COVID. As you know, things are changing rapidly. So as there's a new phase in this or new information that needs to get out, there's a lot of communication that goes on. And then there's a lot of people that need to do things, like DPW needs to go around and block a parking lot if it's getting too crowded, or, go around and police are checking on how things are going in the community. So all of those things, as things change, certainly our businesses have been enormously impacted, and that is a direct health consequence. So we worry about it from the economic point of view, but we worry about it in terms of people's health. We want to make sure that they're eating, getting their medicine, that their mental health is okay through a really, really difficult time. So, you know, a lot of the work that my team has been redeployed and our community development team have been redeployed to offer assistance to our businesses. And that can be anything from what to do if you think you have a case or an exposure in your business to COVID-19, one of your employees, or it might be mental health support for preschools or communities or parents or businesses. A whole range of things. And then our community development office takes it even further and helps connect people to loans, government loans, resources in the community, food. If employers have lost their job, how do they access food in the community? We have amazing systems in Gloucester and the Cape Ann region that are providing for food and basic necessities for families. And they have never been busier, but they are incredible, and they are meeting up with the demand. They're keeping up with the demand. They're providing home service delivery, food delivery, and also curbside pickup. So there's so many pieces to this that really affect everyone and every part of the city. But it's been tremendous. And I know, you know, our mayor from the top down, there has been such a coordinated, dedicated sort of focus on the people that are going to be at the highest risk, who might not be able to get their own groceries, who might lose their caretaker because of COVID. And we are, you know, constantly addressing those kinds of things.
You cast a really wide net. This is really amazing. I didn't realize it was so comprehensive. But a question arises while I was listening. Has there been an uptick in calls for mental health help?
We don't take those calls. I'm not a clinician. We don't have a hotline. I do know anecdotally that there are definitely increased needs that we see throughout the community. A lot of our agencies report that to us when we have our twice a week calls. We're hearing from schools, we're hearing from elderly complexes, senior care, that there is increased anxiety, some depression, and we just kind of know from what we understand about mental health that this will be a really, really challenging time between worrying about losing one's job, being home with family, if there is addiction or domestic violence. Those issues will be heightened through periods like this. So, you know, we're just constantly connecting people to resources. I don't know if we've seen, like, in terms of NAMI call centers or websites, I would guess that there's definitely been an uptick in calls and people reaching out. But, you know, I don't have that data in front of me. Mm-hmm. I can certainly supply that to you. But we're assuming that, yes, there is a very large demand across sort of all, from your teenager who can't do those developmentally appropriate things of being with their peers and friends, to your older adult parents or grandparents who might be isolated. There are so many issues that really affects every age group on this one. It's really tough. It's a really hard thing. I mean, you know, I'm sure we're all feeling it.
Well, I know that everybody I talk with is working hard to get through this, and they're using the mantra, you know, not stuck at home, but rather safe at home. And I think, you know, that mindset certainly helps.
Yeah.
Karen, can I ask you about one of the logistical questions? How does the coordination work among your staff, your office, the state, the city, the county, and the mayor's office, and so on? How does that work? In other words, are you getting communiques or communications from the state, and then you relay that to the mayor's office, or she talks to you? How does that work on a daily basis?
That is a great question. I wish I could draw it for our listeners. It's easier to see than to hear, but I'm going to try to give you a really quick overview. Very early in the piece, a few of the folks in my office identified that we were going to become really overwhelmed really fast. We saw this coming, and we knew that it was taking up more and more of our time each day. And so as we tried to prepare and plan for COVID-19 while doing our other tasks, and grants and projects, we felt we were missing things on both sides, and we just felt too concerned that we can't be missing things. So we went through a process through my board and through the mayor's office of saying or asking permission to set up what's called an incident command structure. And it essentially pulled myself and our head public health nurse off of all other duties in the department, put all other projects on hold or pushed off to anyone else who could oversee them. We need to work on the planning of this, the COVID response, which was a really, really good thing, and we had such great support to do that early on. So that allowed us to start putting together this incident command team. So I'm considered the incident commander, and it's this incident command structure is something that's used across the world, actually, but it's certainly federally here in the States by all emergency responders. It can be anything from a fire, a small local fire, to Hurricane Katrina, where multi-agencies, multi-disciplines come together in a response. It's a way to coordinate work through an emergency situation. And so there's a number of people in our city who are very well-versed, including our police and fire, our emergency manager, and their assistant, Carol McMahon. They do this all the time, and so they can help advise us. But basically, we start with the commander. Under me are four section chiefs. One is in charge of operations, like clinical operations for this project. It's mainly reaching out to infected individuals and their contacts. We have an inventory manager, someone to request and to keep an eye on what what things we need, what inventory we need. And that person sits in our EMS department, in the fire department, because much of the inventory is about scarce PPE, personal protective equipment. Who gets it? When do they need it? How are they going to get it? Can we get more of it? Where do we find more? Those kinds of questions. We also have a planning chief who is our assistant emergency manager, Carol McMahon, and she handles a lot of the day-to-day planning issues. For example, we were concerned about our shelter being people were not able to social distance in the existing homeless shelter. So Carol sort of worked with different folks in the planning of that to say, where could we go? How could this work? And through that, and a lot of help from others, we were able to move the homeless shelter to the Y, which is a larger site down the road, and it can stay open 24 hours. So that was a great result. And again, just working through our chief so that no one person is getting overwhelmed with everything. We also have what's called a PIO. That's the public information officer. And that's part of this model as well. That's really, really key to getting messages out consistently through the mayor's office to the public and to our staff, patients, anyone who needs it. So that's been a joint effort, mainly led by Vanessa Krauswick in the mayor's office, and she's done a fabulous job with helping with that and making sure that the messages are getting out. We also have some other folks that help with the writing and sourcing of information. But we have a process for this, and it really takes a lot of the burden off of any one person. People know their roles. People know who to go to if they need something. We also have a call twice a week with all of those people in this ICS chart. So everyone with a job is on the call. But then we have subcommittees formed, and I think there are six subcommittees, and they represent the main high-risk group. So we have a senior subcommittee, a first responder subcommittee, special populations, which includes Action, Grace Center, homeless individuals. And we have a school subcommittee because they have a range of issues over there as well that they need to have support on. And seniors, I said that. I think those are the main ones. And so each two times a week, the whole group comes together. They problem solve. Each subcommittee reports out on how they're doing, if they've seen any major changes or increases, decreases in activity, and then any resources they need. Are they coping? Do they need anything? Do they anticipate needing something next week? And it might be that they want to talk to an infection control nurse or person, and then we go ahead and link them up with that. It might be that they say, we really need to do some home visits to some very sick elderly or high-risk elderly, but we need PPEs. Can you help us? And so it's a way that we all kind of come together, problem solve, and keep things moving along.
I think you've mapped that out very clearly, and I feel much better now. I feel a lot safer, Karen, so I thank you for that.
Good.
I think I just have a final quick question, and then we can wrap it up. How was the PPE situation in Gloucester?
Well, I think we are doing really well at the moment. Now, we're worried about PPEs like everybody else. There isn't a lot. But we seem to keep having donations, or we got some things from the federal government, some from MEMA. Again, our inventory manager, Phil Harvey, and John Sanger in the fire department are amazing. They were able to repurpose things that maybe a first responder couldn't use, but they would be sufficient in another role for other agencies. So they're kind of looking around and figuring out who can use what where, what the greatest need is. And sometimes, we reach out to other communities, other agencies. We've had different kinds of companies have donated, masks. I think some landscapers or pest control people, if they have these sort of high-tech, really good masks, they're able to donate them. And so we've gotten a lot of materials in from different places. And we also talk closely with our hospitals. They're on our call twice a week as well. And at this point, they're reporting that they're okay for PPEs. They have enough to get through where they're at right now. And, you know, it's not to say that we're not worried about it day to day and that we're not always looking for more materials. But at this point, we're able to provide them for our most immediate high-risk first responders.
Fantastic.
So, and healthcare workers. Yeah, well, so that's very good.
I know that most people I've seen and talked with and officials I've talked with believe that residents on Cape Ann are pretty much in compliance with the governor's recommendations and with the health department's recommendations, and that makes me feel pretty confident as well. But, Karen, I guess I would ask you, are there any final thoughts that you might have in summary, concerns or recommendations or just your feelings?
Yeah, I think in summary, let's remember we're going into what we anticipate and is predicted to be the peak here in the next 2 weeks. And so anything more people can do to help stay away, wash their hands, stay inside, just not come into contact with other people or in other things that people might touch, you know, like a door to a store or any of that. So as much as possible, we've all done really great so far. I feel like this is, if we can just have one really big push as a community to stay in, stay away. The virus needs people to move around. It can't move, it can't infect others without a host, without a person. So if we can all stay away as much as possible for another week or two, we could be seeing a flattening of a curve. We could be seeing things, you know, get through the worst, and that would be the best possible outcome right now, is to get through this with as little impact to our vulnerable residents as well as our first responders. You know, you just have to remember these people are on the front line in there trying to take care of us in a very high risk situation. So I guess that's my plea, is to, you know, go outside. It's good to be outside in that sun, good for your mental health. Go for a walk around your house or your yard, but don't go where there's lots of other people already gathering with their dogs or their frisbees or whatever else. There's ways to do it. You can get out, but it's just that, you know, this is the push right now. If we can all just really, really think of it that way and get through this last little stretch, hopefully it will be the last little stretch. We don't really know, but we do know that this is anticipated to be the hardest, you know, the peak week or two coming up ahead. Limit grocery store trips. You know, you don't need to go every couple of days. Make do with what you have, or combine trips with friends. If you really need to go, just send one person. But really, really try to eliminate that. Wear a face covering if you do go out. That's really important, and CDC recommends that. And check on people. You know, I think we're talking a lot about buddy systems throughout the city right now. So that's a great model. Find a buddy if you have a senior neighbor, your parents, grandparents. Check in on them once or twice a day and make sure that they're doing okay, that they're staying inside, and make sure they don't need anything. And if they do, there are plenty of agencies within the city and on Cape Ann who can help support that, who can get groceries to a senior or whatever else they might need. So yeah, that's my plug. I thank people for taking this so seriously, and for doing the hard work of staying apart. I know it's hard. We're all feeling it, but I think it really does make a difference. We've seen that.
That is Karen Carroll, who is the public health director in the city of Gloucester. With MSO News, I'm Rick Moore.